Hello, friends. It's Monday. It's time for the latest Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast from the bunk here in IO Radio. It's the start of a momentous week, something that's going to go down in history. It is live pod week, baby. We'll get onto that in a minute. But first of all, of course, I am your host, as ever, Mark Heath. But the three people with me who know what they're talking about, essential to the show, and I'd like to give them a big build-up. First of all, the man who is the brains behind the operation, according to one review this week, hates fun and showing off, which I think is fairly accurate. We call him the Doctor, Dr. Watson. I need a doctor, call me a Stuart.
Foot.
Ruth Watson. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Outstanding.
I hate fun so much that I was the only member of this room who did go to the Christmas party.
Yeah.
So.
I take it back. The man referred to in the same review as a cheeky lad character with dietary issues, sporting his Monday jumper, lavender or plum, your choice. The man I like to call Alfred Hitchcock.
Dietary issues.
Hutch Hogan. Yes.
Is that purely down to the baked potato?
I think it's still the baked potato with gravy and, what was it, Coleman's mustard?
Just any mustard, preferably American mustard, actually.
Yeah, that's not mustard, though, is it?
Mustard. Yeah, it is. nothing wrong. I'd go into bat for that forever, to be honest. It was just a snack. Not proposing to serve it as a meal at a dinner party. So, get over it.
How do you feel about being referred to as a cheeky lad character?
I think it's wildly inaccurate, but
I think cheeky is accurate. You're cheeky.
Yeah,
I'm not sure you're a lad.
No, I'm not a lad. I can be cheeky. I'm cheeky. Cheeky monkey.
When the moment is right. And of course, the fourth wheel on our Kings of Anglia bus, the man referred to by Barry Fry, no less, as refreshingly relaxed for someone with such responsibility, in another review this week, greatest producer on planet Earth, it's Ross.
Hi.
Friend, how are you?
Good.
You've been off. You had
a
week off.
Yeah, I did.
What did you get up to?
Here, there and everywhere.
Yeah?
I went out on Friday night, but not the, you know, the...
Not the Christmas party at
no,
the work.
No, yeah. I didn't fancy coming to...
Didn't you go away?
It did, yeah, Cambridge.
Again?
Nice, yeah, I love Cambridge.
Cambridge's
a lovely
place.
I'll tell you, mate, you would love Cambridge. It's expensive. It's very expensive, but... I may, in a long-term future, may go there.
Future. I can see you in Cambridge, mate. It would suit you.
Yeah.
Thriving music scene.
Yeah.
Lots of people with beards.
Yeah.
You fit right in. Boys, how are we all on this fine Monday morning? We are, as I say, a matter of days away from one of the greatest events in podcast history. The KOA Live podcast, Saturday, Smokehouse, Ipswich. If you haven't got a ticket already, it's too late. Sold out, mate, 25 minutes. Boys, how are we all feeling? How's things?
There's a poster outside, isn't there, with what's coming up at the Smokehouse.
Yeah, ours is the only one that's sold out.
Only one of them that's sold out.
Yeah. Interesting, that, isn't it?
Did
we, boys, what have we been up to? Did we all watch the sporting event of the weekend, AJ, putting it on that little fat man?
No.
No, we listened to it on the radio, on the drive
I tell you what,
home.
Boxing on the radio is superb.
Fantastic.
One of the best sports on
Mike
the radio.
Costello, brilliant.
He's brilliant.
Snooker's better.
Snooker's not a sport.
It's great on the radio.
It's not. Snooker's never great on any format.
Let's not have this chat again.
Anyway, as I say, it's live pod. We're going to get onto that later on. I want to give you a full kind of rundown of what's coming up. And also, we may, Moe, Hutchie, we may have a ticket giveaway.
Are we doing it? Yep. Yes, we may have a ticket giveaway.
We may. We are going to do that. But first of all, boys, let's start, of course. Ipswich Town played Coventry for the 34th time in a row at the weekend. Part three of the trilogy. Trademark Andy Warren. I like it.
You like that?
I loved it. It was 1-1. It was a game of two halves. There are a lot of cliches throughout your excellent post-match video. Your thoughts?
It was a game of two
it
halves.
Was. It was. Very much a game of two halves.
First of all, what about the starting lineup? Because obviously Keane up top on his own. I turned to you in the office on Friday, Stu, as I was putting pictures on your spread and said, oh, there's Ross headbutting the mic. And said,
KJ.
I've got a picture of Caden Jackson. He's a certain starter, isn't he? And you said yes. And obviously he was then on the bench. Will Keane was up front on his own. So what do we make of the starting 11? Chambers out, of course, injured as well, which we weren't expecting.
I've given up reading too much into which player gets put up for interview pre-match, because normally that's a fairly good sign that someone's going to start, but Mr. Lambert keeps putting up players that don't ultimately start. That's happened about three or four times.
Maybe we just need to assume they're not now. Just go down the next. James Wilson's the player up today ahead of the replay tomorrow night. So
riding the bench tomorrow.
Won't be playing.
Who was it last week then? I can't remember.
I don't know. I can't remember, but I do remember thinking that this has happened quite a few times now. You know, Caden came in, new dad, talking a lot about how he'd been frustrated not to play the cup games and he was itching to go again, and there he was on the bench. But that aside, there wasn't too many surprises. They'd played well enough in the first game at Coventry in the cup, and so you could see why maybe they stuck with a similar sort of team. And as you say, Chambers was injured, which we didn't know about, although we had an inkling that there was a centre-back struggling. Scuse had obviously picked up a hip knock at Peterborough, otherwise he'd have probably come into it. So that's why they went with what he did.
Well, it worked for 45 minutes, didn't it? It was good. We've talked about one up front on this podcast so many times, haven't we? And that, my friends, is how it works. For 45 minutes, they did it.
Champagne football, wasn't it? From reading your reports?
In relative terms. In League One.
Yeah.
Yeah. In League One, Ipswich Town terms. Yeah, that's as good as they've been this season. It's as good as they've been for a long time. They had the three in midfield were all very competent footballers. Obviously, Downs, Dizelle, and then Nolan just ahead of them, popping the ball around beautifully. A lot of the moves started from the back. Luke Garbutt at left back was often the sort of start point of some of the moves. Even Will Norris is a goalkeeper who's probably a bit more capable with the ball at his feet. And they used Keane properly. This is how you, as Andy says, this is how you play one up front. Mm. Weren't banging it up long to him, because despite his height, he's not a target man. He's not a fight ball striker. Technically, he is very gifted. And now he's starting to get his touch back and his fitness back. Some of the link-up play was outstanding. For about 20 minutes, he was unplayable, dropping into space, knocking it off. And that would have been a goal that we've been talking about for a long, long time, had Alan Judge been able to stretch that little bit more for the Gwion Edwards cross. But alas, it wasn't to be.
Keane's header for the goal was great. He that was a proper, to use a newer cliche, jumped like a salmon.
I saw Stuart use that in his report. Excellent.
Leapt like a salmon.
That's a new addition to in recent years that's been added to the football lexicon. But I think his second header that hit the post was even better. I love headers like that, ones that you're kind of leaning back, you've angled it, and it just came back off the post. I remember Martin Waghorn scored a really, really nice one of those a couple of years ago from, I think it was Emir Hughes' cross. Mm. I love stuff like that. It's just a shame it didn't go in.
And then, so you got to half time, Town were 1-0 up, looking good. And it could have been, what, 2 or 3, could it? 4?
3, 4, yeah. Comfortably.
But that was the fear, wasn't it? That was the fear we were talking about. All these positives and one but. And the but was that they hadn't made it 2 or 3 or 4.
Mm.
And within 10 minutes or so, they were pegged back, and a draw ultimately ended up being fair.
How many times do we see this in football where a team can be dreadful in one half and you just know they're never going to be that bad again? The amount of times that we've got excited about all the 9-0 record could go when someone's getting pummeled in a first half, and it never continues at that pace. Half time just gives the manager a chance to speak to people. People can gather their heads, they can tactically tweak, which Mark Robbins did, and there was that sense in the stomach that they've missed a chance to kill this game off, and that's what happened. Coventry came out. I don't know what it's really hard to put your finger on what the big difference was between the two halves, but I just think first and foremost, Coventry improved, and they're a good team. They've only lost a handful of games themselves. I can't remember how many it is.
Two
as well. So, and they're in a good run of form. They're a decent side, and they came back, and once they got the goal, they had the momentum.
It was the midfield for me. I think they just got a grip of that midfield, and from there they were able to give themselves a bit more of a platform to play from. There was a really nervy moment after 94 minutes again, wasn't there? Was it? I think the substitute, Allen, had a shot from about the same point on the pitch where Callum O'Hare had equalised in the 94th minute the previous week. Fortunately, this one went wide, and they did leave with a point.
So 1-1, honours even. Who emerged from the game with credit? I saw from your match ratings, Andre Dizelle. Sounds like he's getting better and better with more opportunities.
You know, the man who I think played over 90 minutes, you know who I think the best player was?
Your boy.
My boy.
Denaissance. Yes.
Over the course of the 90 minutes, I think he was the most consistent of those players on the pitch, if I'm honest. He was sweeping up balls that went in behind. He was strong in the tackle down the right. Very calm.
He's obviously heard that Denaissance is officially a thing, and therefore he's having to play up to it.
I would agree with that assessment, but there's always the caveat with Genoi that he is a right back in the traditional sense of the word, and I don't know if he offers enough in an attacking sense. We talked a lot about Garbutt starting moves and, you know, needing... you can just tell that they've lacked that sort of attacking outlet of Kane, Vincent, Young, but Genoi is doing what his game is, and that's fine.
Well, I think you have to acknowledge and you have to look past the fact that he isn't Kane Vincent Young. He isn't, and he never will be. But you know what you're going to get with him, maybe now, and he's producing that consistently, and that's okay with me, because there are times where he probably wasn't offering the solidity at the back either. And look, he's no Kane Vincent Young. He never will be that kind of player, but he's doing well, and the Denaissance is real. Get behind
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Roscoe, you are an Ipswich Town fan.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously weren't there at the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You'd normally be at games. When you saw that Town had drawn 1-1 with Coventry, what did you think?
Are you aware that it did end?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Town did play on Saturday.
Yeah, I did look in the evening. I went, oh. They drew.
So it's like
analysis.
Would the kids describe that as meh?
Yeah. But I think we played them just a week ago, so it's like, oh, same old story, really.
Same old story.
I did see, you know, the team when it came out. I went, oh, yeah, we're definitely not going to win this, when I saw Will Keane up front on himself. So
yeah.
That's when I just went, nah, not going to bother looking. And then, yeah, I looked in the evening and went, oh, 1-1. Oh, Keane scored. Well done. Oh, they scored as well. Well, that's it.
1-1.
I'll go into bat for Will Keane. I think I said on the
pod, I like Will Keane, but just up front on his own.
You don't like him playing up top on his own, or indeed anyone up top on their own.
Yeah, basically.
Mm. Yeah,
you have to do it properly. Otherwise, it doesn't work. It's not always on the striker.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I like Will Keane. I like him as a player, but on his own, just in general, I don't like one striker up front.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
We've spoken about this a lot. I quite like one. I do like one up front, but you've got to do it like they did in the first half. Otherwise, it's not worth doing.
Will Keane's actually said as well, hasn't he, that he actually likes being a lone striker playing up top on his own. So if you're going to put someone up there
Wrong.
On his own, may as well be someone who enjoys it. Don't you think? That's my analysis anyway.
And that's why you've reached the top of the management tree.
Exactly.
Aces in their places.
Round pegs in round holes, my friend. Stewie, you got anything to add?
Well, the move that we talked about that almost finished in a superb team goal is exactly how that system works. It was Nolan with a really cute, clever, round-the-corner pass into Keane. Keane drops deep, lays it off to Nolan. Nolan with a first-time sweeping through ball, and then you've got the wingers springing the trap, and then Edwards down the right, and then he should be sweeping the pass across for opposite winger Judge to score, and perhaps lacked a little composure, Edwards. But that is exactly how that system is meant to work.
Mm. I think they can still, in terms of the personnel, I don't think the wingers are the right wingers for that. But that's just where Ipswich are at the moment. And I felt very sorry for Alan Judge when he was substituted at a time where they switched to a midfield diamond with a number 10 in it, and he wasn't the man to do that. I'd like to see Will Keane. If we're going to go with this one up front, I'd like to see Will Keane with Alan Judge behind, but maybe they haven't got the wingers at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other thoughts from Saturday before we move on to something a bit different?
You mentioned Dazelle. I thought I'm pleased for him, because I think he's not taking his chances when they've come along, but I've always had sympathy for him, because it's easy to forget just how young he is. And it's easy to forget that he had so long out with injury, and then all of a sudden, you were asking him to shine when he was getting parachuted into the team once a month. He'd come in, and quite often that was in a team full of big changes as well. That was a hard. That's always hard for him to show what he's about. But he's been given a few more starts of late. They started two games in a week, and I thought we were starting to see the benefits of that. I thought he answered some of the criticism that is often levelled at him is that he doesn't work hard enough off the ball, and is a bit of a luxury in that respect. I thought he got about and showed a bit more energy, and at least tried to get stuck in a bit more. And then on the ball, he is what we know he is. You know, he was a big part of that first half performance with the way that Ipswich controlled the ball and controlled possession. So I was pleased to see Andre play like that.
He looks so much better next to Flynn Downs, doesn't he? They're just on each other's wavelength, and that's completely understandable given they've played with each other since they were primary school children. It's completely natural, but they as a pair, they complement each other really well.
I think the other thing with Andre as well is you kind of forget, I mean, I think everyone's guilty of this, you kind of forget that footballers are humans, and obviously there was stuff going on with his dad that we didn't know about behind the scenes, which can't have been easy for him as well, and that all kind of adds up, doesn't it, if you're kind of struggling to find form on the pitch. Obviously you've got other things going on in your life. I think certainly I am guilty of sometimes of just seeing footballers as, well, that all they do is play football, but obviously they're all individuals, they've all got the same kind of problems that we have, regardless of how much money they earn. So yeah, good to see Andre getting a chance and getting back to form. Now then, something a bit different. Obviously, the chat amongst Ipswich Town fans at the moment is very much glass half full, glass half empty. Now I thought, rather than just have a little general chat, I thought we'd go into the High Court, Kings of Anglia, presiding, yours truly, Lord Chief Justice Mark Heath. Like it. This is very serious. This, if you don't know, is a theme tune to Judge Rinder. So shit's about to get real. I was once invited on Judge Rinder. Have I ever told that story?
No.
They wanted to get Benson on. They contacted me through Instagram and said, can you bring your dog on the show? Judge Rinder has a bulldog. But they wanted me to basically make up a story that Benson had damaged someone's property. So,
is that how they're operating?
That's
this TV
that's
show?
A little insight into how Judge Rinder works.
Ruin the magic.
Mm. Yeah, so when you thought it was serious stuff,
like Caden Jackson smashing up a wardrobe.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows if that was true?
Who knows?
It probably wasn't.
So why on earth did they just randomly contact you?
I guess because Benson is a bit of a celeb dog.
Okay.
There's a link there with Judge Rinder and Bulldogs. And yeah, they wanted to put us up in a posh hotel. All it takes is just basically lying.
And you said no because you're too...
Too principled.
You could not have Benson
I said no.
shown in that light.
His name besmirched.
Exactly. Benson is very well behaved. He's a very good boy. Anyway, I've got off the track. We are sitting here. It looks like a podcast studio, but it's actually the High Courts of Justice, Kings of Anglia style. We've got two experienced barristers who are about to prosecute and defend the case for and against. Prosecuting barrister Dr. Stuart Watson QC will be prosecuting that the glass is half empty, and across the table, looking him deep in the eyes and giving a steely mean mug.
There's no table.
No wigs either, which is disappointing. I thought you might bring wigs. Anyway, Hutch Hogan QC will be defending and saying the glass is indeed half full. Gentlemen, as is tradition, indeed actually the rule in court, the prosecution will start. Dr. Watson, have you an opening statement?
My opening statement is thus. I'm worried that Ipswich Town might mess this up. My heart says everything's going to be fine, but the evidence suggests otherwise.
Is that your opening statement?
That is my opening statement.
I should just point out at this point that obviously this is a bit of fun, not necessarily the views of either of the two Queen's Councils involved. Just like barristers, they'll do anything for money. So there you go. So Stu, whatever Stu says and whatever Andy says might not actually be what they think. But just remind it's a little bit of fun. Anyway, Hutch Hogan QC, your opening statement, please.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Lord Justice Heath.
Yes.
The case for a glass half full is a simple one. It focuses on the future rather than the past. It gives credit for what has come before in difficult circumstances, yet acknowledges the opportunity lying ahead. It is grounded in clear, concise, common sense and testimony from a star, reliable witness. And it is a case, once heard, that will prove beyond reasonable doubt that Ipswich Town are drinking from a half-full cup.
Outstanding. You can tell someone's done some homework.
Yeah.
As a QC student, I'm a bit disappointed you haven't done more preparation.
Yeah, I'm woefully underprepared for this. It was something that was muted in the group chat last night.
Yeah.
And I'm very much in a wing it situation here. So,
and we all know how much you enjoy wing it situations. Mm. Okay, so the opening statements are done. Stuart Watson, as prosecution, you now proceed. What other evidence would you like to bring to the table?
I would like to start with goals and mm-hmm. lack of.
Yep.
Goals from midfield not happening. Goals from centre-backs and defence not happening. Strikers not firing at the moment. Norwood, fitness problems. Keane, is he going to stay fit? Sears, how long before he gets up to speed? They were winning games 1-0 earlier in the season. There was always going to be a point that if you're not scoring goals, that was going to catch up with them. And that's where I think we're at.
But I'd point you straight to some statistics. They're second in the league. Let's not forget that. They're second in the table. Two losses in the league all season. 4 points off the top with the game in hand. Four clear of third with the game in hand. Only Leicester and Leeds have conceded less goals. Is that right? That's your stat. I read that in your... Is that correct?
I hope so.
He's nodding.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's not grumble at that. We'd have taken this, wouldn't we? We'd have snapped this off back in July, June, May, April. When we knew full well this was going to be the scenario.
That's compelling.
Don't look at the past. This is where Ipswich are now. Look at the opportunities for the future.
I would argue now, and I would call Paul Lambert to the stand at this stage.
Yes, a witness.
And Paul Lambert would say, there's no medals handed out.
He wouldn't say it like that, would he?
Nay medals.
Yes.
Yuffie heed.
What?
You're off your heed.
Excellent.
I'm not looking to the past. I'm looking to the future. I'm sitting here right now and saying they've done well to get to this point, but I'm looking ahead to the next few months and I'm concerned that this might not continue. And the medals are handed out in May.
Is
that
what Paul Lambert would say?
That's what Paul Lambert
telling us that he's concerned.
He wouldn't be saying he's concerned, but he'd be saying it doesn't matter what's happened between August and December. It's what happens in the next 6 months, and that's the point I'm trying to make.
Okay,
has there been enough evidence so far to say that they can do this again?
I think the evidence lies ahead. I think you just have to look at the Coventry game. Who was missing? Captain, missing. Most reliable midfielder, missing. Your X-factor right back, missing. Leading strike duo, missing. Still drew with a promotion rival who themselves have only lost two all season.
Draw. Draw is the word that jumps off the page there.
We're talking about the future here. I object to it. I object to your negativity.
You still drew, you said, and that's what they're doing. But too much.
I've listed what's to come back. I've listed it.
Okay.
It's there. The future is in front of us. We can see it. It's beautiful.
One win in eight. Not beaten a team in the current top eight of the division.
Only lost to one of them as well. Are Rotherham in the top eight?
Sunderland didn't lose many games last year, but they drew a hell of a lot. 1-1 was their scoreline of choice, and they faltered at the death as well.
This is tense.
Sunderland had more points than Ipswich on the board at this stage of last season.
I'm not bothered. Honestly, not bothered about
more points on the board than Ipswich do at this stage last season.
I'm not bothered about the past. You can chuck all your stats at me. I'm feeling vibe. I'm feeling what's to come. And I've got a witness to call. Can I call Freddie Sears to the stand?
Yes, you
please?
Can.
He couldn't actually be here.
Oh.
He sent in a statement.
Is that okay? Read the statement, please, QC.
Firstly, I'd like to apologise for not being able to attend court in person today. I'm busy training for my impending glorious return.
Yes,
I'm feeling fit and strong. If it was up to me, I think I could have been back on the field a week or two ago. When I do return, I'll bring an attribute currently unavailable to the gaffer: direct driving runs off the flank. I'll attack from wide areas, get close to the striker, and could even facilitate a front three, a proper front three. You saw a bit of that at Coventry. Now imagine what it could look like with me driving inside and getting shots off. I'd have reached that ball from Gwion Edwards. Did you see my goal at Villa last season? Fancy a bit more of that? Bit more of that spice. I know I do. Isn't just me either. James Norwood's been hampered by injuries of late, and given a little more time, he'll be back to his early season form. He brings the best out of Caden as well. The three of us in the same team? Yes, please. Teddy Bishop isn't far away either. He brings a new dimension to midfield. He can dribble and break the lines. Yes, please. You want some? He'll give it you. I gather my mate Jack Lancaster may just play again this season, and then there's Kane Vincent-Young to come
back.
Yes.
Can't just be throwing out May play again this season. May's ifs, buts. Let's stick to the facts, please.
Kane Vincent-Young's to come back. I like that. Don't sleep on the January transfer window either. It's time for the owner to flex his muscles. I've seen him in the training ground, Jim. He looks like Daniel Craig and and Judge Rinder. I don't have time to be cross-examined. I'm playing golf.
I was going to say, because obviously the prosecution would have the chance to cross-examine
the
witness.
He's on the golf course.
Well, I'm afraid it's a legal proceeding. Right, you can't just leave.
All right, okay. Ask him some questions.
Dr. Stuart Watson, do you wish to cross-examine the witness?
I'll speak for Freddie.
Freddie, how long realistically before you are back to your best?
I think I could have been back on the pitch 2 weeks ago, Stu.
You think you could do
I'm going to play in the cup at Exeter.
So you're immediately going to be in top form in your first game back, are you?
Might take a week or two, but there are others as well. But I'm back. I'm coming back. Okay. Don't you worry about me.
The goals have been a little bit dry in the team at the moment.
I was top scorer last season.
Top with how many?
Top scorer. So
did you go about 46 games without a goal at one stage recently?
That's negative. Yes.
Okay. No further questions.
Oh. Prosecution rests there. Are there any further witnesses? I know the.
I'll call a witness.
Yeah, I thought you had a key witness you were thinking
got
about
a key
calling.
Key witness here.
Yeah.
This man's got a bit of time on his hands because he has a big gap between games. I call Mick McCarthy to the stand.
No one saw this. This in the courtroom drama. Now everyone would be hushed. This would be like. As Mick McCarthy walks in, sits
the
down.
The door creaks.
In he walks. Mr. McCarthy, if you'd like to make your way into the witness box.
Does he have to put his hand on the Bible? Do all that?
Well, he's sworn his oath.
You get the option. He's sworn in anyway. He's got some water in front of him. Dr. Stuart Watson, your witness.
Oh, you're all fucking happy with 1-0 now, are you?
Is that it?
And then he would probably slam his hand on the desk
and
say,
leave.
call Scoos in front of a back five. That's fine now, is it? Are you entertained?
I am, actually.
Can I...
Defence, your witness?
Are you open for cross-examination?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
What is it to do with you, quite frankly, Mick? What are you doing here? What relevance have you got to this? We're looking at the past again, aren't we?
He's gone. He's already slammed his hand on
he's
the desk.
He's gone to take the Arsenal job.
He's walked out, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Any further witnesses going to be called?
Well, no,
obviously
more
we've got
witnesses.
Closing statements at some point.
I've no more witnesses. I've just got a few little things... I'd like to chuck out.
Okay, go.
Just why everything's out. You know, these aren't the reasons why they're going to get promoted, but it's reasons that might top your glass up to half full status that little bit more. Still in two cups. Attendance is up. Atmosphere's back. Best kit in years. Home on Boxing Day this year. The Cobbold Stand's been painted and there's a new fence at the training ground. Get on board. Your cup's half full. Job done.
Was that your closing statement?
No, I've got more.
Excellent. Prosecution, would you like to... offer any more evidence, or would you like to proceed to closing statement?
I can proceed to closing statement if you like.
The floor is yours.
Okay. I'm just going to throw a few bullet points at you, like you've just given to me. Not beating teams in the top half of the table. Not scoring enough goals. Shots on target over the last few games. 1-2-0-1. Not creating enough, and then when they do, they're not taking the goals. They've struggled when key men have been out injured. The squad rotation and the calling off of games due to international breaks has severely hampered momentum. It's severely hampered team chemistry. It will catch up on Ipswich in the end. That's why my glass is half full.
The prosecution
empty,
rests.
I mean.
The prosecution rests. And the defence, as is tradition, has the final say. Closing statement, please, Hutch Hogan QC.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Lord Justice Heath. Producer Ross. I presented to you a solid start to the season, a supporting cast waiting to return, flashes of quality and a myriad of factors which combine to project a bright future. Witness statements have supported this with vigour and passion. We've had years of apathy and negativity. It's time to turn away from the darkness and look towards the light. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, lift up your cups, knock back your drink and fill that cup up again. It will forever be half full. Keep it flowing. I rest my case.
And there we go. The choice, of course, now goes to the jury as to who will win this case. And you, my friends, are the jury. At some point today, we'll put out a poll as to which side of the argument you're most compelled by. And that will be the official ruling of the jury. We'll decide which QC gets his bonus for this case. Gentlemen, court is now Over. That was fun, wasn't it? I enjoyed that. It was good.
I think I might have to become a QC. I really enjoyed that too much.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, back in the day, I assume you were a news reporter, so you've been in Crown Court.
I've been in court.
I will say that among the best performers on earth are QC barristers. I mean, obviously, the dog's bollocks, the QCs. They are brilliant performers.
Especially when you know that at least one of them doesn't believe what they're trying to tell you.
Exactly. I enjoyed that. Stu, I thought for someone who literally was winging it there, you showed, as all top QCs do, an incredible ability to be persuasive and call up facts.
Yeah.
And a bit of flamboyance as well.
Yeah. I probably didn't adhere to court procedure as well and etiquette as my colleague here to the right.
You lack experience, but there's always time for a newcomer.
I was very much surprised as well to see Mick McCarthy make an appearance.
Yeah, well,
I didn't see that happening.
I'm not sure what he added to it, if I'm honest.
No.
It's character witness.
But it was nice to see him anyway.
Yeah.
It was. Give him something to do. Boys, let's do... That's unbelievable. My phone has just flashed up as a potential option, podcast questions.
Oh.
It knows. It's time for Mark's Big Question.
Mark's Big Question.
Stuart Watson QC, please pick a number between one.
I don't want. I'm not role playing anymore.
No,
are
no,
we?
No.
Good.
No.
Okay.
You must be a very, very well qualified man if you're a doctor
and a Queen's Counsel
QC and masquerading as a sports journalist. You are a very well qualified man.
Can you pick a number between 1 and 35 if you've got time, please?
19.
Have you ever walked out of a movie? I have. I've only ever done it once, and that movie was the Ab Fab movie, which, my friends, was not fabulous in any way.
Were you expecting better?
I was a big fan of Ab Fab back in the day. It's one of my favourite things. It was hilarious, and I had high hopes. The start of it was very funny. I don't know if you've seen it. Hopefully not many of you watched it, because it's complete shit. But we looked at each other about half an hour in and thought, this is bollocks. This is rubbish. Let's go. And thus, we departed half an hour in. Didn't look back, and I see on IMDb it's got like 4.5 rating or something, so it is shite, it's not just us. But we felt good, we felt empowered walking out of that movie.
Like you'd gained an hour and a half
life. We weren't wasting our time, we didn't feel the convention of having to stay in there and watch it because we'd paid for it, because it was shit. So have you ever walked out of a movie?
I've never walked out of a movie, I've walked out of a show.
What sort of show?
Is it the
West End?
No, the Ipswich Regent.
Okay, that's pretty good.
My wife's quite into like astrology and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. So I bought her tickets to go to watch what's his name? Brian Cox.
Ah, I thought you were going to say Patrick Moore.
No, I would have saved the Games Master.
Yeah.
I'd have been there right to the end.
Yeah.
Brian Cox, it was just a lecture. It was really boring.
Was it?
I thought it was going to be good.
So, when you say you walked out?
We both did.
Oh, you both walked out? Okay.
I think she was more keen to leave than me.
Hold on, did you just say that was a present?
Yeah.
You don't buy presents?
We bought tickets. It's not a birthday present.
It doesn't qualify as a present.
It's just buying something.
So you stormed out. Did anyone else walk out with you?
I don't think so. I think everybody was really, really quite dialed in and in on it. We weren't.
He said, not for me. He's having a laugh today.
I think we went to have a Chinese instead.
Again?
Much better.
Winning?
Yeah.
Stewie Watson, have you ever walked out of a movie or show or indeed anything?
I've fallen asleep plenty of times in the cinema when Claire's dragged me to some chick flick.
Some rom-com.
And just, I've been caught out having a bit of shut-eye. But,
yeah.
Now with... with kids, you find that you'll have to exit the cinema if they just decide that they've
had enough.
We've not ventured to the cinema yet. I'm kind of dreading and looking forward to that.
I missed a significant portion of Frozen 2 recently, which I'm not ashamed to say I was quite frustrated by.
Was she not into it?
She was, but she just got a little bit frightened by a certain section, so I had to take her out into the foyer and was disappointed I was missing out.
Wow. Roscoe, you must have walked out of a movie or two.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
The first one?
No, the whatever the trilogy
the
one.
Seventh one.
Yeah, I think I was 15 or whatever, and I just went, no, this is shit. Just walked out.
Did you pay to get in the first place, or did you like skip round? Have you done that? Have you?
I'll get free now, but yeah. Now I know. Back when I was 15, I had to pay.
You get in free now?
Empire.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, of course, because of the
women's team.
The women's team sponsorship. There you go. Yeah. Free films.
Yeah. But yeah, it was just terrible.
Mm. How about, obviously, you're a man of many concerts as well. Have you ever walked out of a concert?
Yes. There's a few that I've done, I've like took pictures of, and I actually didn't actually like the artist. I just did it for portfolio wise, and I'm like, I've done the three songs, so yeah, I'm going now because it was.
Name names.
A recent one is Young Blood. He's okay, but I just sort of had enough. I sort of just went, just went. Liam from Crew came with me for Young Blood.
Good lad, Liam.
And we both liked the support act, but then we got to the main act. I did the first three songs, and I just went, should we go? Yeah, let's go.
Let's go. There's something empowering, I think, about walking out of something. I think it is that getting time back, where you plan to be in there for 2 hours or whatever, and then suddenly you're out after half an hour. It's like you've got a free hour and a half to do with as you see fit.
Like in the nether zone, the twilight zone.
Exactly, the zone in which you were not meant to be.
I'm not meant to be here.
It's a sliding doors moment. Who can say what might happen?
Yeah. Just quickly, on the subject of not buying presents for my wife, we did, to try and limit the damage this year, my family are doing a Secret Santa.
Okay.
And Vicky drew me and immediately sought to make a trade with my brother so that she didn't have to buy me one.
You're that committed to the cause.
Yeah, she was really like... really quite concerned that she would be breaking our etiquette.
Do you never ever, like, again, this may be a glimpse into my personality, but do you never ever feel like I'm going to get her a present, it's going to be a really good present, and then I know she won't have got me one, so I will get serious, serious points?
I would lose points for doing that.
Really?
She'd be annoyed.
Even if you got her, like, a, I don't know, something really good?
I think she may well appreciate it, but I think she'd be annoyed by the fact she wasn't involved in the...
In that constant battle of credit and debit that goes on between man and wife. No?
Yes.
So you know what I'm talking about.
I'm very much involved in that, but yeah. I know full well that buying presents isn't going to help me as much as some others might benefit from that.
Okay. All right, that's the end of Mark's big question. Let's talk about something that happened last week. But I want to talk about it, obviously. The Elf Trophy.
Elf.
Town of three games from Wembley.
And about 1,000 miles.
Yes, yeah. We'll get onto that in a minute. But first of all, I mean, obviously the game last week. Roscoe, what are you doing?
Carry on.
You're making me worried. Are we still recording? We are. Good.
Are you getting the elves? Are you getting the elf for the tune-up?
So, Elf Trophy. Peterborough were put to the sword by a very young side. Well, put to the sword, that's a bit of journalistic license. They were beaten.
Violently.
Yeah. But from my point of view, I think the most interesting thing to talk about is the side, the youngsters that were playing. Lads that I've never heard of, Alex Henderson.
Hendo,
big Hendo. I mean, obviously, your man, Roscoe, Barry Cotter, came back, scored the winning penalty. You have to say, whatever you like to say about the young man, when he plays, he's kind of usually box office, isn't he?
Things happen.
He's a lightning rod for stuff. So just obviously it's a week old now, but your thoughts on what
sad,
we saw?
I was sad for Ross first and foremost.
Yeah.
He wasn't there.
Yeah.
They're all he watches so much of the 23s and the youth teams. And
I should know this now though, because the last three games we've had in this competition, we've played our youth team basically. So when I saw the team, I thought, oh, you know, an opportunity to see good old Baz. And then I was surprised about losing my voice. I was disappointed to see, you know, missed opportunity of Hendo and Tommy Smith 2.0 and stuff like that. But,
yeah, what can you tell us? Because obviously you are best mates with most of the youth team. Can you tell us anything about Hendo? Because he's a name that I'd never heard before.
He's just a meathead, basically.
What, he's a meathead?
Yeah. He's a nice lad.
He's a big boy.
He's really a big
boy.
You mean,
for his age.
Yeah.
Shaven head.
Yeah.
Centre back.
He's a unit.
He's a unit, basically.
What you're looking for, yeah.
I think Lambert described him as a bit of a throwback in a good way. Someone who will just throw himself into everything. And you saw that to his detriment a couple of times in the game. Very early on, he might have got away with one where he ran across someone's heels in the box. Second half, bit of a rush of blood to the head where he charged out of position to try and make a block, and they missed a good chance off the back of it. But as the game went on, his nerves settled and he got better and better. When Kenlock moved across to centre back, they played even he played even better.
Yeah. And Ross missed that as well. The Kenlock show.
The Kenlock run up. The Kenlock penalty.
Anybody should be scoring from 12 yards.
Yes.
I think.
But what a run up.
Wow. Mm. Anyone should score from 12 yards.
Yeah. Professional footballer.
I think we should put it to a test. I think maybe I should do the same run up as Kenlock.
Yeah.
And then we'll go on a field somewhere. Where the goal? What are you going goal?
That run up was incredible. The replay does not do it justice. I know people have probably looked at the replay that the club have put out and thought, "What's the
you can't really see
about?
It in the replay."
You can't, but there's a couple of other. I've seen a couple of other sort of fan shot videos from different angles, direct from behind. I've seen it described as sort of the Bruce Grobbelaar wobbly knees, but the ankles kind of get thrown out to the side as well. I've never seen a penalty run up like it, but he rolled it in the bottom corner. Yeah.
And then he gave it big to the Peterborough fans behind the goal afterwards.
Yeah, did some sort of like goggles, glasses sort of gesture to, and I think Norwood did as well, didn't he? Gave it some after
what was
his
the
penalty.
Quote from Lambert afterwards about that?
John Travolta.
That's it, John Travolta would have been proud, yeah. And obviously there was Tommy Smith, 2.0 came on.
Yep. Left back.
Yeah.
Oh, his first 10 minutes were pretty shaky, but my word, after that he bounced back well. You worried for him after the first 5-10 minutes.
Kanu, their teenage right wing back, beat him and someone else all ends up by the corner flag with a bit of skill. Smith fouled him, yellow card, and at that point Andy and I were thinking, because Peterborough looked, it was their reserve team / youth team as well, but they looked like they had some handy players. They were certainly very tricky and direct in attack, and it felt like the writing was on the wall, and that was a game that Peterborough on the front foot for most of it. You come away from it, massive positives, young side.
They held out for 10 minutes against Tony and Issa, didn't they? The two front line, the Premier League One strike force.
Mm.
They held out for 10 minutes of that, which they deserve a lot of credit for.
And McGavin was the one I got excited about most from that game. He looks a player. We've seen him 3 times now in the first team. I think Andy would agree, whenever we'd seen him play for the 23s before, he never was spectacular. Just looked like a very sort of calm, does everything. He never came away from a game. He never stood out, but not in a bad way. Do you know what I mean? But since he's gone into the first team, I think his attributes have kind of been highlighted more in the hurly-burly of a first team.
Yeah, the tenacity seems to suit him a little bit more, doesn't it? Rather than 23s football, where sometimes it feels like you get kind of frowned at and looked at if you put in like a meaty tackle. But yeah, the blood and thunder of it brings out a side of his game I didn't know he had from watching him in the 23s.
Roscoe, is there anything you can tell us about Brett McGavin?
I was fearing for him, actually, for him to get released, because he wasn't anywhere near the first team. So I thought, could be one of those players who may get released. But he's now proven that he may earn a longer-term deal, which is...
I'm sure he's done enough already to earn at least another contract.
In a way, this competition has probably helped a lot of players.
Mm.
He's definitely Barakot. He's been out in the wilderness. Mm. And for him to get an opportunity to play in this, for Lambert to actually see him in proper... I know that we'll plan their reserves, but you can sort of say this is proper men's football. So it's given these players an opportunity. Of course, Chihuahua, whatever his name is. What's his name?
Chihuahua.
Yeah. For him, he, made his senior debut. So yeah, that's what I think. I like the competition as well. Kind of, Andy, you really like it.
Absolutely love it.
Because it's good to see these young players get an opportunity to play first team football, and possibly, I hope, if we do get to Wembley, I hope some of these do get an opportunity to play.
Mm.
I know there'll be a lot of first teams. Oh yeah, let's go. I'll play at Wembley. Yeah. So yeah, hopefully.
I'll be honest, I can't. I think he will continue to play these sort of sides, and understandably so. But whether it's in the next round or after that, I can't see them getting all the way to Wembley playing these sort of teams. Can you at some point?
Because your glass is half empty.
I don't know what sort of Exeter have been playing from what we've seen. Exeter have been playing their reserves, but if you're a it might help that Exeter are fifth in the table, and they too will be looking at promotion as their top priority. But at some stage, they might bump into a mid-table League One, League Two side that hasn't got a huge amount riding on the league, that will sniff an opportunity of Wembley, and they'll go strong first team, and that's where Ipswich might come unstuck. But that's fine. You know, it served its purpose for Ipswich in terms of bringing on these kids, as we've discussed.
Let me ask you both a question. So you're saying you think he'll carry on playing the kids. They are three games away from Wembley. Should he carry on playing the kids? It's a chance to get to Wembley.
I still think you're at the stage where you need to treat it as you've treated it the whole way along.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Exeter is the next
lucky
draw.
You.
That's a Tuesday night. And I gather that if the FA Cup game ultimately ends up being Bristol Rovers, that game will be on the Sunday, and they're not going to move the trophy game back from the Tuesday, so they're going to go Sunday, Tuesday.
Oof.
Which
we're staying over there, yeah?
Wow.
But that kind of shows you they know what kind of team they're going to be playing in that.
You say the kids, but it has been sort of mix and match. It's not been, you know, Ipswich had a stronger team out than Peterborough still in the last round. I'm just trying to remind myself who else played, but Norwood played.
Norwood, yeah.
Yeah, Emil Hughes.
In that game. Ken Locke, who, you know, was playing a lot of championship football not that long ago. Cole Skews, Emil Hughes.
Mm.
Even El Mizouni and Dobra, yeah, they're young kids, but they're ones that have kind of been on the cusp of the first team anyway. So it's hardly like when we say they're playing the kids. It's
Jordan Roberts as well.
Yeah, so
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with that. Keep going.
J Rob scored, didn't he? Scored his penalty.
Yep.
Put it away. Like the
he played quite well, I thought, actually.
Of course he did. Of course he did. He just needs a chance.
You're really fully on this now, aren't you? You've left Drynan behind.
Well, Drynan is doing stuff in the super wetting at the moment, isn't he?
No, so he's back.
Oh, he's back.
Where do you prefer J-Rob? Do you want him up front or do you want him wide?
I prefer him on the pitch, Stu.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's where I want to see him. Because the man's he's got talent. He's over his nasty sore one, his toe injury. Give him a chance.
Uh-huh.
And if the chance is to pair him with Drynan...
That's what you want.
Ayo!
You'd combust.
I would combust. I'd literally melt. Boys, let's do the highlight of every pod. We've had a lot of reviews this week, and a lot of them have been mentioning the strike. And indeed, your good self, Roscoe. Seems you're a popular young man.
Thank you.
Rightly so. Do you want to play your music?
Yes.
And let's get involved.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Strike! Brought to you by the greatest quiz show host on planet Earth, producer Ross.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yep, another edition. Here we go. What?
You sell it so much.
Always the same.
Sell it.
So guess who?
Yeah, good.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a guess who written down this
time. Good.
So, oh God. Don't worry about this. I've got something wrong, but don't worry about it.
Good start.
Luckily, I remembered who the person is because I didn't write his name down. But yeah, guess who? So we played commentary, so we're going to ignore the commentary player, but we're playing Bristol Rovers this weekend. So he played for both Bristol Rovers and Ipswich. So he began his career at Bristol Rovers before joining Ipswich.
Who? Who did he join?
Bristol Rovers.
No.
Oh, join us.
Who?
Join us. Ipswich.
He's trying to trick him into giving the answer away.
So he played Bristol Rovers and he joined Ipswich.
Yeah, he started his career at Bristol Rovers before joining Ipswich.
Right.
With nothing in between.
Nothing in between.
Continue.
Okay. He scored one goal in 17 games during his one season at Ipswich Town.
The boy Ellis Harrison.
He is.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bomber.
Yeah, and the clue three was...
What?
Yeah, he left Ipswich to join Portsmouth this summer.
1-0 Hutchie.
There you go.
Who I've just noticed, by the way, is feeling comfortable. He's in the room. He's in rhythm. He's in momentum. He's taking his shoes off.
Oh, they were off after the intros.
Oh, were
they? They've been off ages.
Get yourself comfy for the QC bit.
Flashback. So, your boy Freddie, he scored the only Town goal in the Blues 1-0 win over Wigan last year. But how much do you know about him? How many goals has he scored for Town? Whoever gets the closest. So how many goals has he scored?
Oh, so it's not multiple choice?
No, it's just...
I like
yeah.
it. How many goals has Freddie Sears scored for Ipswich Town?
How are we going to do this?
So who's closest?
Yeah, but who goes first?
Oh.
I think Hutchie should go first.
Okay, it's his boy.
20. I think Stu's got a spreadsheet. Yeah. I'm going to say 26.
Okay.
I'm going to say 24.
Okay.
I think it's higher than Hutchie's one. So to be safe, I'll say 33.
27, you should 27. Say.
I could have done, but...
What did you say again, Hutchie?
26.
It's 30, so Stu's one.
1-1.
One. Now, this game is probably one of my favourite away days because there was loads of goals, 8 goals involved in this. In 2011, Town won 5-3 at Barnsley, scoring 5 second-half goals.
Unbelievable.
But who scored the final goal that day? Jason Scotland, Keith Andrews, or Danny Collins? Remember Danny Collins?
Keith Andrews.
I remember that game because that was the game where the Town were like 3, what was it, 3-1 at half time or something? Or they were down
3-0.
3-0 at half time. And there were furious texts being exchanged between me and then editor Terry Hunt because we thought that was going to be the end of Duel. And obviously they fired back. And also that game's notable, of course, for Ibrahim Asonko's incredible goal line clearance where he sliced it off his own shin.
Just give us an answer.
Sorry. What are the options?
Scotland, Andrews.
I'm going to say your man. Danny James Collins.
Okay.
All I remember about that game is breaking my laptop on the awful Oakwell school desk benches. The Sonko goal line clearance was incredible. Sliced it off his own post at 3-0, I think that was. Jewel would have gone that day. I think they'd lost 7 in a row leading into that. Andrew scored, I think his 2 goals came early in the second half. Yeah. So I'll go with Scotland just to make it fun.
Correct.
Da!
Oh.
2-1. Stewie's in sight now. Victory. Get in.
Who loves a debut goal?
Me.
Who doesn't?
Well, yeah. Darren Curry. Darren Curry does as well, as he scored Donny's debut and he set up another.
Wow.
Good debut. As Town won 4-2 at Loftus Road. But who did he set up? So this is in 2004. Darren Bent, Jason DeVos, or Shefty Coochie?
Shefty Coochie.
Andy will know the answer to
Yeah, because he was there.
I wasn't.
Oh.
I think it was Coochie.
Okay.
Actually, no, I don't. I think it was Darren Bent.
Oh, no, you can't change your answer.
Okay, it's Coochie.
Okay.
What are you taking, Gaffer?
I've already said Coochie.
Oh, Coochie?
Yeah.
I'll say Bent, then.
Bent's correct.
Okay. that's fine.
So, yeah, 3-1, controversial.
Yeah. Last time, good old last time.
So just before we get into last time, has Stu won?
Technically, yes.
It's 3-1.
I'll be appealing this to the board.
You weren't refereeing the other week, were you, at Portman Road?
Yeah, I was. I'm Alan Young in disguise.
Yeah,
but I thought we'd do another one. Last time.
Yeah,
it's a bonus point. 2 points for this one.
Oh,
what?
This is like when he's given a penalty and he levels it up by giving a penalty for the other side.
This is actually about a penalty.
Is it? There you go.
Yeah. There you go. But yeah, Town last faced Bristol Rovers at Portman Road as they beat them 3-1 in the League Cup first round. But Town were awarded a pen in this game, but who missed it?
When was this?
Luke Chambers' Ipswich Town debut, wasn't it?
Yeah, 2013.
I think the fact that Hutchie knows that indicates he may know the answer.
I know nothing more about it.
Is it multiple choice?
Yes.
Go on.
Michael Chopra. Jason Scotland again. Hi, Jace. Or Nate.
Hi, Jace.
Definitely listening.
Yeah.
Or Nathan Ellington.
Who?
Nathan Ellington.
Who?
Nathan Ellington.
Ellington.
Ah, okay.
So it was 3-1 against Bristol Rovers in 2013.
Yeah, who missed a penalty?
Who missed a pen?
Yeah. Chopra, Scotland, or Ellington?
Who?
Ellington.
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 Last one.
Skellington. I'm going to say Duke Skellington.
Okay.
Don't copy what I say, just as I'm going to say Jason Scotland.
Okay.
Chopra.
It's Chopra.
Ah! Well, Stewie wins!
Get in!
Come on! And that makes the overall score, what is it?
I'm just still winning by.
But what's the score, Ross?
It's
not 7-2, it's 4. It's 4-2-2.
Oh, okay.
Who won today?
Oh.
You won, Stu.
Thank you.
Stu. Outstanding.
He leaves the room with a belt.
Okay. have we got the outro?
I have an outro.
Yes.
I hope you're going to enjoy this. It links up from Wednesday night.
Wednesday.
So,
Posh, yeah.
I'm bringing the Strike song down. And over to you, mate.
Hi guys, Barry Cotter here. That was another edition of The Strike with producer Ross. Tune in next week for another edition of The Great Quiz Show.
Oh my goodness!
Wow!
Oh!
With Spice? That's amazing!
Let me give you a high five for that. That, my friend, is why you're the greatest producer on planet Earth. As if you just needed us to say that it was the greatest game show. Now, the penalty hero, the boy wonder... Barry Cotter is telling you that Strike is indeed the best game show on planet Earth. That is tremendous, Ross.
Can you play it again?
Yeah, do it again.
Hi, guys. Barry Cotter here. That was another edition of The Strike with producer Ross. Tune in next week for another edition of The Great Quiz Show.
Amazing. There you go. Is he coming to the live pod? Is he going to do the outro of the live pod?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Oh, we should get him.
That was unbelievable.
Wow. That was tremendous. That's one of my favourite things ever. It's a very good show today. I hope we haven't gone too soon with a live show on Saturday.
We're still recording.
Should we just not do it? Just play this to
them. Yeah. And we'll just sit on stage.
The bar,
yeah. Yeah, we'll just stay on stage. Now, of course, post-strike, I do want to discuss the fact it is live pod week. For those of you who are lucky enough to be coming, sold out, if you've got tickets.
Tickets are changing hands on the black market.
Big sums.
I reckon.
Big sums. Have we got the kind of Ed Sheeran eBay kind of thing?
Yeah.
Where
you're not coming in unless you bring
exactly.
Going for vastly inflated fees, like £10.
Double the money. So Saturday, it's the Smokehouse in Ipswich. If you've got a ticket, obviously, we can't wait to see you. The basic idea is it's going to be essentially a live recording of the show. So you're going to have all the stuff we'd normally have. We'll talk about the game, obviously. There'll be a Mark's Big Question. There'll be a live version of The Strike, which I can't wait for, especially if Barry Cotter's doing it. There's also going to be other stuff. There's going to be a live mailbag. There's going to be mid-season awards where the boys might reprise their roles as QCs. That could be good. And there's also, most importantly, there's going to be the crowning, official crowning of the 10th friend of the show on the night. Everyone who's in attendance will have the opportunity to become the 10th friend of the show. I'm very excited about that. We also have an official hashtag, cleared with Twitter, hashtag KOA Live.
Cleared with Twitter.
Absolutely, I've been on the blower.
Hello, Twitter.
Yeah.
This is going to be trending on Saturday night.
Yes, so the idea is if you're coming, you're there, please use hashtag KOA Live on Twitter and Instagram. Create a bit of buzz. And also, Hutchie, we've got two tickets, haven't we?
We have got two tickets.
How are we going to give these away?
Did we make a decision?
I think maybe myself or Ross pre-game should be in the fan zone with the two tickets. So basically the first to find us with the tickets will get them. But you'll need a password, which you can only get on this here podcast.
And it will not be put on Twitter.
You have to listen to the podcast to get the password. That password is...
Honey Badger.
There you go. The password is Honey Badger. If you see either me or Ross in the fan zone pre-game, I assume we'll probably be hanging around together like celebs do.
With minders.
Come running up to us. And if
got
you say...
spot, you know, red, you know, tape and everything.
Yeah,
you
know. VIP area, yeah. And if you're the first to greet us with the famous words Honey Badger, you'll get those two tickets for Saturday night. It's going to be tremendous. I'm really looking forward to it. Boys, how are you feeling?
I'm very excited.
I think it's going to be great. And we're looking forward to meeting everyone who's coming along.
Can we plug our new Twitter account, please?
Yes, go for it.
We've got a new Twitter account just for podcast listeners.
Oh.
It, mm-hmm. Yeah, it only follows four people. Ross, you're one of them.
Oh.
At Kings of Anglia. I tried to get KOA Podcast as the handle, but that already exists.
Who's doing a KOA podcast?
The Kings of Alchemy exists on social media. They have one follower.
Oh. They're doing big things.
Yeah, so the Kings of Alchemy. Are the original KOA on Twitter, but I think there's only one
KOA.
Yeah, give it a follow. There'll be a lot of podcast stuff going on there.
Hashtag KOA Live. I can't stress that enough.
You know, you said that you've been onto Twitter about that hashtag.
Yeah,
that would be a dream job for me to work for Twitter as part of the hashtag police.
Right.
Where people that just use superfluous hashtags just get shut down. Like, oh, doing this today, hashtag blessed, hashtag family, hashtag no.
Hashtag blessed is one of my favourite things.
All that, yeah. You know, all that nonsense.
Hashtag too old for this and all that
hashtag
sort of stuff.
Is there designed hashtag to boring. Group together things
that people
need
have interest
to be grouped
in.
Together. Yeah. Hashtag ITFC, you click on it and you can see all of the talk about Ipswich Town. You don't need to just put normal words with a hashtag in front of it. That's all I wanted to say.
A bit more on Kings of Alchemy.
That's what you wanted to hear.
They describe themselves as the official Twitter account of the Kings of Alchemy podcast. Elemental and the Dirty Serb combined to make magic with no distractions, no flim-flam and no shenanigans. Which is the opposite to what we... the opposite to our approach.
Yeah, we're heavy on shenanigans here.
Yeah.
What are their names again?
Elemental with a 2 instead of a T and the Dirty Serb.
We've got new names. Do you remember what we decided the other day?
For our rap.
Our car names.
Oh, you can't... What? So, no, you're,
which
what?
Would make us Mocha, Kajar and...
And Yaris.
And Yaris.
An old bus over there.
Oh, this is going to be our hip-hop names, isn't it?
Yeah, hip-hop names, yeah.
Yeah.
Kajar, Mocha, Yaris and Bus.
Sounds pretty good to me. Boys, it's time for mailbag. Can we have a rendition of the tune, please?
Who's with me?
Mailbag, mailbag.
It's time for Mark, Andy, Stu and Ross to dip into the mailbag. Yes.
Score. We're on fire today. Jamie Carpenter, after my son was the mascot for Saturday's game, I wondered if any of you lads were ever mascots when you were young. No from me.
There was a really... Is it Jamie? Is that
Jamie Carpenter,
Jamie
yeah.
posted a really nice video of his... I think his little lad was called Alfie.
Right.
Getting he was waiting outside the dressing room and every single town player that came past came and gave him a little fist bump.
See, that's awesome.
Or a head ruffle or a
There's
high five.
There's nothing I hate more than you see these videos of mascots being ignored
Arsenal
by players.
Arsenal did that the other day.
Yeah.
The whole squad just walked straight past this
you
poor little lad.
Assholes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well done, Ipswich.
It doesn't take anything just
and
to
well done, Alfie.
Exactly. Give him a little fist bump. Make his day and his life.
Exactly.
So have you ever been a mascot?
No.
I was never an official mascot, but I got called down out of the crowd to go and stand down by the tunnel one time because I would make my dad sit in the seats ridiculously early before kickoff, like 2+ hours before the game would start. Be the
Why?
Only ones... Just because...
You were so excited.
Yeah, so excited, and you wanted to watch all the warm-ups and soak it all up.
Yeah.
And somebody from... I was at Tottenham Everton, and somebody, nice lady from Tottenham, came up into the away end and said, do you want to come down and meet some of the players? So, got to meet...
Did you meet Big Dunk?
I met Big Dunk.
Oh, he's the man at the moment, isn't he?
So excited on Saturday.
Big Dunk. Has reawoken every Everton fan in the country, I think.
Another great video of him running up and down the sideline, hugging the ball boys and lifting them off their
Just
feet
him in
stuff.
A suit, I like.
Yeah. You see Bullard
suit with the sweatband, did you see that?
Mm. What a man.
You see Bullard tweeted and said he's still terrified of him. Roscoe, have you ever been a mascot?
No, but a ball boy.
You have been a ball boy at town?
At town, yeah.
Did you were you one of those ball boys who is
assisted.
Very much kind of time wasting and
yeah and assisted a goal you know
you assisted a goal
no I didn't know no.
But a ball boy took an absolute whack
did
at
he
St Andrews at the weekend. He had to go up into the top tier to get a ball that a Coventry defender had sliced behind, and as he came running down the steps with the ball, he proper slipped and smacked his head on the chair. He looked all right though, and then from that corner Will Keane hit the post. He almost assisted.
Okay.
Did you see the
Mourinho?
Yeah, that was great. You know, got him in for the. He had basically assisted the goal properly.
Right.
Like, grabbed the ball, quickly chucked it for a throw on, and they scored. Harry Kane scored, and Mourinho made a real big fuss of him, and then they had him in for the pre-match team meal for the next game and all stuff. It's a really nice video.
I love stuff like that. That's we forget obviously because we're old and cynical and stuff. Well, some of us are old. Me, Ross, you're still young, but. There is still that magic around football and sport as a whole. So anything that kind of perpetuates that for youngsters, I think, is brilliant. Nigel G, friend of the show.
With the big fish.
Number nine. Nigel's coming on Saturday. We're very much looking forward to seeing Nigel. He says he's struggling to sleep at the moment. It could be excited anticipation of the forthcoming live pod. Do the lads have any tips on getting a good night's sleep? I bet Ross... 2 lightning emojis would be an expert here. Well, Ross sleeps anywhere. And do you think the hashtag honey badger emojis sleeps well the night before a match? So what are your tips for having a good night's sleep? I would say get pissed. Have a few drinks That'll send you right off. But in terms of other stuff, have you ever tried any of those sleep remedies?
My number one tip for getting a good night's sleep is go and sleep in the spare room.
Yes, always.
It's my number one.
Yeah.
I listen to stuff.
Whale music.
No.
Scandi rock.
Podcasts.
Oh, you listen to podcasts? Yeah. This one sends you right off.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Particularly during the mailbag section. Mate, not this one.
Stewie, what are your top tips for a good night's sleep?
Don't eat too late.
Yep. No caffeine.
Yep.
Roscoe, you can sleep anywhere, anytime, on anyone. Do you have any tips?
Sleep naked.
That sends you off, does it?
Yeah.
Always naked.
Yeah. Free.
Free as a bird. Matt Thomas.
Friend of the show.
Number five. What do you guys put the inability to put two decent halves together down to? I thought it might be the squad fluidity, but when they play well, like the first half on Saturday or home to Shrewsbury, then it contradicts the argument, as they'd be more likely to play well second half. So why can't Town play a full 90 minutes? We already know Lambeau thinks that's physically impossible.
Only Barcelona and Brazil circa 70s can do that, which I think is taking the argument to the extreme. Mm. I know what he's saying. We're not talking here, to clarify, about utterly blowing someone away for 90 minutes, but there has been a stark contrast between levels of performance between one half and another. Earlier in the season, you could make an argument that perhaps, certainly at home, it's when teams come to Portman Road and look to defend and park the bus and make things difficult, and perhaps then they've come alive in the second half when the opposition tires or whatever. It's a hard one to put your finger on for this weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think like you said earlier, you do need to acknowledge that the opposition are capable of doing bits. Much like Coventry are a good side, they've made some tweaks and it worked for them. It is hard, isn't it? I think the fluidity of things doesn't help. Maybe these teams that Ipswich are putting out don't have the reserves to go to as a group. I don't know.
But I would say in general they've been better in second halves than first halves. Saturday was a bit of an exception to the rule. They've generally been better in second halves than first halves, looking back. But as Andy says, that you know there is another team trying to stop you doing your job. I always remember John Ward, as Colchester manager, illustrated that perfectly to me once when I asked him about why his team hadn't been able to do something in the game, and he whacked my notepad and pen out of my hand to sort of say, look, we've got people physically trying to stop us do our job. You know, you haven't. You know, now you can't write something down, or, you know, no one else has someone physically trying to stop them, what they're trying to do, and we do sometimes forget that.
I hope you punched him square in the face.
No, because he was Gentleman John, who's one of the nicest guys in football.
He's a man of advanced years. I don't care. Anyone swiping my notebook out of my hands, getting the right hand to the face.
I think that might have been the end of your time covering coaches.
Andy Evers, he says, after having an ACL reconstruction yesterday and about 1 hour sleep last night, any idea when Freddie is back? Well, get well soon, Andy. I hope that all works out. Freddie is on the grass.
He's on the golf course at the moment.
Is he?
Yep. This is why he couldn't be cross-examined.
Of course. We forgot to ask him when he's going to be back, though, when he was talking about how good he's going to be.
He did say in his testimony that he might be back for the Exeter EFL Trophy game.
There you go.
But
can I just point out that I did say at the very start of the season that Freddie Sears would be, did I say, their most valuable or most key player in our podcast?
I think it's an X Factor.
Yeah,
X Factor.
I will stand by that.
Yeah.
Despite the case made earlier, he'll make a massive impact.
The case made earlier, I think we probably would both lie somewhere in the middle of both of those arguments, but that would have been very boring.
Yes.
A very boring discussion.
Absolutely. As it was hugely entertaining. Tony Southgate, with the hotly anticipated KOA Live this Saturday, is there a tease you can give us to look forward to? A special guest, a new game, or a new friend of the show? So yes, Tony, as just discussed, there will be the 10th friend of the show crowned. I'm really hoping Barry Cotter turns up. Ross, I'm still smiling about that. That was tremendous work, my friend. Peter Dwerryhouse, after the use of the game of two halves cliché, what are everybody's favourite football journalism clichés?
It's one of them.
It is what it is.
That's football. That also gets chucked about quite a lot.
That's football.
No one knows what that means.
I think
that's football.
One day we've got to have a cliche game where we just trade cliches until the well is dry, because I'm fairly sure we could keep going for a long time.
Beyond sort of the usual football cliches, I don't know if this is getting worse, but people starting sentences with "listen," you know, it's the Roy Keane thing, "listen," yeah, to kind of punctuate a point, which is completely unnecessary. Or what's the one Martin Keown always does? You have to say, or to be honest, or just chuck in stuff like that on the end of sentences seems to be more rife in football punditry.
You are aware that you do the listen thing?
Yeah, do I?
Yeah.
Do I?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
You do, yeah. But that's one of the reasons we love you. Chris Thorogood, to me. Good to see you put Stuart Watson in his place for doing your mailbag shout-out last week. Yes. I assume Mark is Stu, Andy and Ross's boss. If so, what kind of boss is he?
Friend first. boss second.
Entertainer third.
Probably entertainer third. I noticed that you did the mailbag shout-out considerably
I did it very early
today, in case you were usurped.
Well, by the usurper over there.
Yeah.
So, I'm an excellent boss.
Basically, Chris, a chilled-out entertainer.
Ask anyone. Gary. Oh, getting political. Gary says, predictions for Thursday. I'm reluctantly bracing myself for the 1,000-year Tory Reich. Now, I'm off on Friday, and part of the reason I'm off is because I'll probably sit up most of Thursday night watching it. I love an election. An election night is one of the very few nights where I wish I still worked on news, because there's very few things like covering an election. A live election, things are going on, you don't know what's going to happen. You're up at like 4 a.m. in the morning. It's all kicking off. The future of the country is at stake. It's tremendous. Hutch, you look as if you're about to fall asleep.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, the one election that I covered, didn't enjoy it.
Why not?
Because there was this bloke from the BNP who was just kicking off. And it just made it really quite irritating.
Yeah.
He didn't get in.
Prediction-wise, though, I think you're right, Gary. I think certainly all of Suffolk and most of the country will be blue on Friday morning, whether you think that's a good thing or not. I'll leave that up to you. Where are we next? Jack, when all our strikers are fit and match-ready, which one or two will start? For 20 minutes on Saturday, Will Keane turned into a prime Daryl Murphy, reminding he's still our best technical player. Or will Keane and Norwood be too similar from the start? So everyone's fit, all bets are off, full fitness. Which strikers are you going with?
I'm going to say what I say every single time. A one up front with a proper three behind when everyone's fit. And I think... I probably would go with Norwood when he's fit,
mm-hmm.
with Sears and Lancaster as the wingers and Judge as the 10. That would probably be what I'd go for.
As much as I like Caden Jackson, and as much as I think he's really played himself into things this year, I'd be tempted by Norwood and Keane, because I think that could be in a traditional two. But I think that Keane could almost drop deep and become the 10 in that sort of 4-2-3-1 that Andy's talking about. So I think that gives you the flexibility. I think Keane does his best work when he's dropping a little deeper, and Norwood would then give you the slightly more direct option as well. Keane is, and I'll stand by this, their best footballer amongst the strikers. People have forgotten his pedigree. He was a star man in Manchester United's youth team. You know, it's only injuries that is the reason that he is where he is here.
Roscoe, who are you starting?
Norwood and Jackson.
Yeah. Okay. Three different answers. Good, I like it. Peckham Blue. Who would win between the Honey Badger and Roy Keane if they were stripped to the waist, skin on skin, in a fight to the death? I'm taking Honey Badger all day long in that fight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Roy Keane is a classic example of someone whose bark is a lot worse than his bite. He's got that unhinged thing about him, which I think makes people think he's a proper psycho. But in a fight between those two, I think Honey Badger would have the...
Channel his Glaswegian.
Exactly. Yeah. The ability to go to the places you need to go to win that sort of fight.
He might have stuff to fall back on from the streets of Glasgow.
Probably been trained with Jim Henry as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, he might have some judo throws.
He'd judo throw him to the floor, and then he'd literally bite his trachea. Danish Dewdrop. Anyone getting uncomfortable with Paul Lambert's responses to Brenna Woolley? Too much, hashtag Honey Badger. Has there been an escalation of the beef between Lambo and Brenna recently?
I don't know about an escalation. It's just kind of been bubbling for a little while. It's a bit unnecessary for me. I think this all goes back to Paul misinterpreting a question from Brenna midway through the relegation battle last year. I think where Brenna asked him about, you know, the results, and as well as they'd been playing, had you hoped or expected some better results? It was couched in very fair terms, and I think Paul, that was the day when Paul had then sort of said, well, if Evans wants to sack me, he can sack me and I'll go and all this sort of stuff, and he made a story out of nothing really himself. And I think Paul's decided from that point onwards that Brenna is some sort of negative vibe, which Brenna is a good friend of ours, and he is very much not that, and I think he's come in for some unwarranted stick there. So,
okay. Stefan Vasek.
Friend of the show.
Number eight, that means. He's going to be at the pod Saturday. There's two kings, friends of the show. They're going to be joining us on Saturday. Stefan and Nigel G will both be there.
Nigel, bring the fish.
Don't bring the fish.
Bring the fish.
Because that will lead an unpleasant odour in the room.
The reason why it's called a smokehouse is because they used to smoke fish there.
Oh, there you go.
Bring the fish.
Bring the fish and perfect. We can smoke it. He says, hi guys, any January transfer window rumours starting to filter through? And then he adds, see you Saturday with four beer emojis. So Stefan is very much of the mind. Bad. He's going to get on the beers with us on Saturday. Any transfer rumblings started that have come to your ears?
Was the Northampton goalkeeper got linked last week. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about that one. Obviously, that would depend entirely on Norris's situation. But other than that...
We're signed a player, aren't we?
Yeah, Levi Ando, who is a Dutch-born, Canada-educated right-back / centre-back, left-back, midfielder. He's joining in January, but that's one for the 23s initially, I think.
Great name though, Levi. Jax Larder, friend of the show,
number four.
I think he's number four. We've got an official list somewhere, haven't we? Which I'll tweet out before Saturday. Jack, of course, is our resident chef. Good to hear from you, Jack. We've not heard from you in a while. He says, do you think the hashtag Honey Badger played Shibek, because he worried about losing Norris?
Yes. There was definitely an element of that, and I think he pretty much confirmed that post-match himself. He's mentioned this a few times now, Lambert, about the Norris situation, and I think that's probably why he's playing as much as he is at the moment, and they're concerned about losing a good goalkeeper in January. Mm-hmm. So he sort of said we've got to have half an eye on that potential scenario, and he said the other goalkeeper's been linked, so we'll see what happens with that.
Hutchie, you actually asked Mr. Pshibek how you pronounce his name, and Pshibek is a Polish pronunciation. Yep. He also said there is an anglicised pronunciation.
Prisbek.
So if you're in two minds, Prisbek is also acceptable. Benjamin Erie, if you could choose a footballer to join the jungle on I'm a Celeb, who would it be, and who would be the bravest? Well, there was a footballer in there, Ian Wright.
There's always a footballer in there.
Obviously, our own Kieran Dyer, formerly of this parish, was in
Jimmy
there.
Jimmy Bollard?
Did pretty well. Jimmy Bollard,
has Neil Ruddock been in there, or have I made that up?
He must have been in there at some
He's
point.
Done something. He will do anything for money.
Absolutely. So if you're putting any footballer in there, who are you putting in?
Vinnie Jones.
I'm surprised he's not done it either. Yeah.
He has, hasn't he?
Has he?
He's done something.
Do you know what? He might have been one of the first.
Dennis Wise did it, didn't he?
Little Dennis Wise. who am I putting in?
Of the current Ipswich players, Norwood would be the best value, wouldn't he?
He'd be up for anything, I think. Thomas Holy would be funny as well.
I'd love to see Norwood on there. I think he'd be perfect for it. Rob Hughes. On Saturday, Town played well when both sides were playing a passing game. When Coventry went more direct, they struggled. Is this a theme that they struggle when they encounter a well-organised, ultra-direct team, for example, Accrington or Rotherham?
Well, yeah, they lost to both sides, and Rotherham in particular had some very big forwards in there, didn't they? I guess that's just another way of playing football, isn't it? And Ipswich have found that hard at times. They found it easier on Saturday when they were able to play the ball around, but Coventry stopped them doing it and they didn't react well enough.
I don't think that was Coventry going more direct at the weekend. That
it wasn't direct, but it was they bulked out areas.
Yeah, but I think that makes it sound like they've suddenly gone banging big balls up to the strikers, and that's where it struggled. That Kelly in midfield was sliding some delightful through balls for them. They got the ball down and they played. They had three at the back to start with, took off a defender, put a midfielder on, so that helped them get the midfield battle under control. They moved one of the big strikers out to the right wing, actually, and that made a big difference against Garbutt. So I don't know. Is that an Achilles heel? You're thinking back to those games that you mentioned. I suppose there was some handfuls up front, but I'm not sure I'd go as far as saying that is their ultimate Achilles heel.
Hmm. A couple more because we're coming up to the hour and a half mark, and we need to get into the office and start doing some stuff. The Pin. Back after his three-game ban for that ridiculous Yorkshire pudding challenge.
Yeah, kind of a self-imposed three-game ban.
Went in two-footed needlessly. He says, I'm struggling for Christmas present ideas for Mrs. Pin. You've never met her, but do you have any suggestions? She likes theatre. She detests Yorkshire puddings.
Maybe some theatre tickets.
Mr. Pinney, I would recommend, I know you're one for some dining as well, and you're in the London area, so I'd suggest I think the Savoy do a pre-theatre meal package special. And of course, there is a theatre directly across the road from the Savoy. So I'd do that. Do you know a little fact about the road outside the Savoy?
No.
I'm going to tell you. It's the only road in the country where you drive on the right-hand side of the road.
That seems silly.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, why?
Just the way it is. Have you ever been to the Savoy? It's a tiny little road. It's like a kind of U thing out in, go into and out, but yeah, there you go. That'd be my tip.
Bloody Americans changing our culture again.
Exactly. A couple more we'll take. Where are we? Book and Blue. Who of you would have survived longest in the jungle, and what would your biggest fear going in be?
Eating a testicle would be.
They taste like chicken. Apparently, I think that'd be all right. I'd much rather.
I like chicken.
Huh?
I like chicken.
You like chicken?
Yeah.
Fried testicle. I'd much more fearful of eating an eyeball.
Yeah, eyeballs for me, definitely.
Because they pop and they've got all that kind of liquid inside.
You'd rather eat a bollock than an eyeball.
Absolutely, yeah, because a bollock is meat.
By some distance.
Yeah.
God.
Absolutely.
What's wrong with you?
Absolutely.
The eating in general would be the worst one for me. I'd put me in pits with snakes and all, that's fine. But
I'd smash the insects away, no problem. I could eat insects. No problem about that whatsoever.
So who would last longest? I'm saying definitely not me.
I'd back myself.
Yeah,
I think.
You might be a dark horse.
Yeah.
Because you're very steady. I'd be all up and down and emotional and angry and getting into arguments and refusing to do stuff.
Good telly though.
Yeah.
You've got to be noticed on there, haven't you? If you're too quiet and steady, that's your first out normally.
Oh yeah, it's voting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not like you don't just leave when you can't hack it.
No, it's a popularity contest.
Yeah, I don't think I'd get much airtime. Unless I went and had a shower. They seem to get in those when they
in
go
a bikini.
When they go for their shower, they all seem to get on then.
Yeah.
And there's Miley in class.
Yeah.
And Andy.
Oh my god.
In a
oh
white
my god,
number.
Look how hairy his back is.
That'd be a challenge, someone could wax it.
Yeah.
What is that weird bald patch on his thigh?
Yeah.
It must be
well, where I got bitten by a tarantula.
But good lord, look at his calves. And his eyelashes.
See, that would be analysed on a double page spread in the Sun. They'd just be pulled to pieces.
I think Ross would win it.
Really?
Out of us, yeah.
I of all of us in here, I'd pick Ross to come last.
Yeah, I'd probably die.
I think you'd do alright, because I think what would happen is there's always kind of an older motherly father.
That's true, yeah.
Father figure in there who would instantly take you under their wing and give you a chance to shine.
I don't think Ross would even get into the jungle. Do you know what? Because you know that you normally have to do something like jump out of a helicopter or something.
I'll do that.
I know you would, but you're unfortunately your parachute wouldn't open. So you'd just smash into the earth.
It's a bit dark.
I think I think he'd go on an incredible journey where he would go in one man and come out another, and the audience would really be swept along with
it. He goes in a boy and comes out a man.
Exactly.
And then he'd pick up a 3-year contract to advertise Iceland food. Yes. and you'd be set.
And a TV contract for The Strike, of course.
Of course.
And a 10-minute segment on on the TV like on this morning or something.
Yeah. Final question, Andy G. How would at Stuart Watson, that's you, describe the collar on the knitwear he wore on Saturday? What were you sporting? Was it one of your roll neck specials?
It was kind of a midway house between.
I can't remember what you were wearing. I was blown away by your roll neck, your turtleneck for a previous game.
So was it a thicker knit? There was an element of roll neck around the back that then sort of tapers down into a V at the front. Don't know if that's got a particular name. I have more jumpers than Andy, but they are all very much the same type of jumper. Everything is black or navy, and that is it.
Nothing wrong with that.
I've got four jumpers, and they're all the same, but different colours.
Which might we see on Saturday?
None.
Ooh, topless at the show, interesting.
Yeah, in my white bikini.
Boys, let's move on quickly.
We haven't even seen it.
That's the end of Mailbag for this week. We've had loads of questions. I haven't been able to get to all of them, unfortunately, but thanks for joining in. There obviously will be a live mailbag on Saturday, and also we'll ask a question as well so people can get involved on the hashtag if you're not there, because obviously we will put the podcast out as a recording next Monday. So if you can't be there on Saturday, you can still enjoy the fun from Saturday. Be prepared for a bit of bad language, I'd imagine, next week. Let's talk about this week very briefly. It is FA Cup replay time tomorrow, and then obviously Bristol Rovers on Saturday, kind of overshadowed really by the live pod, but they're still going to play it. So what are we thinking? First of all, FA Cup replay.
1-0 Ipswich.
One-one, because it's always 1-1.
Does it go to penners?
And it goes to
extra time and penners. That's going to be a pain in the arse.
Ipswich to win in extra time.
I hope they do win in extra time and it doesn't go to penalties. That would be tremendous. Roscoe?
1-0 as well.
Town?
Yeah.
So then you would have that epic road trip
early
in January. So it would be, what is it, Bristol Rovers away? Bristol Rovers or Plymouth? Followed by Exeter. One on a Sunday, one on a Tuesday.
If it's Bristol Rovers, it sounds like it'll be the Sunday, yeah.
Can we stay down there? I'll put you on the spot now.
Yeah, of course you can.
Thanks.
Why would you come back? That would be ridiculous. Especially if it's Sunday, Tuesday.
Is there money in the budget for that? Do we have to share a room/bed?
No more than you would do normally.
Okay.
We got separate rooms last time. I think we should go with that again.
Yep.
I will find the money, my friends. Don't you worry. There's no point you going down there and then down again.
Well, we're making a fortune from the podcast.
Well, we are, yeah,
so
of course.
We can reinvest that.
Yeah. Roscoe, you said 1-0, so we all reckon Town are going through in the FA Cup. Mm. And then the game on Saturday, obviously, as I say, overshadowed really by the bigger event on the day, the KOA Live. But on paper, yes, it is second against fifth, is it? So you could say it's a big thing. Scores, please.
Oh, I can't look at further than the next game, Mark.
please.
Take one game as it.
Game at a time, it is what it is.
Each game as it comes. Ipswich Town will beat Bristol Rovers by 2-1. The Bristol Rovers goal will come late on and be inconsequential.
Yes, that's what we want. Stewie?
1-1.
Ross?
3-1.
Yes, Town.
Bristol Rovers.
No,
Ipswich.
That's what we want. We need a Town win. Everyone bounces out of Portman Road, goes and has a little curry.
20,000 of them, yeah. Come down.
Maybe not quite that many. And then joins us for the KOA Live. Doors open at 6, show starts at 7:30. If you have enjoyed this nonsense, please hit subscribe on your various podcast providers. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. We've had loads of those. I just want to quickly
shout... Too many, if anything.
No, never too many, Stu. Where are we? Can you play the little jingle, Ross, while I find these reviews? Because I think it's important.
From true crime to football, Brexit to folklore. For more great podcasts from Archant, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archant.
Now then, since last week, where you asked for Ipswich Town players to leave reviews, Hutchie, we've had quite a few. Boncho Genchev's been on.
Of course he has.
He says the strike is simultaneously the greatest and the worst bit of radio in the history of the world.
Thanks.
Big Toto's been on.
Has he?
He says, fantastic podcast, boys. Stu, you are my favourite and I love you forever.
You can't see this, but I'm doing the little heart gesture.
Little heart thing. So despite your beef, you and Totes are close. Someone else, Tractor Blues... says the strike is officially a thing, and it's a great addition to the podcast. Graham Harby.
Andy, is it a thing? Because you are the arbiter of things.
Well, yeah, so it is a thing, because it does exist.
It is part of the show. Graham Harby says, listening to these lads makes me want to don those very tight late 80s shorts once again.
Is that a good thing?
Do it, Graham. Yeah. And as I said earlier, Barry Fry, Ross Halls is refreshingly laid back for a man with such responsibility.
I have, you know, gotten to record a few shows before, but yeah, thanks.
Jimmy McLucky says that it's one of the best regional football podcasts, and the best one...
He's dead, isn't he?
The best one from Aaron...
Jimmy McLucky.
Is he?
Yeah, he's,
I don't even know who he is.
He played in the 50s.
Did he?
Richrich, yeah.
Well, thanks. From beyond the grave then, Jimmy. Good effort. And then the best one, of course, is five stars from Aaron Drynan, who, as I aforementioned, compares me to Dexter... says the doctor who has a hate for fun and showing off, but he's the brains behind the operation and tolerates his lesser IQ associates.
That's fair, isn't it? It's very good of you.
Hutchie, as we discussed earlier, cheeky lad character with dietary issues, and Ross, what he lacks in immune system and driving skills, is made up for in being the comedy stooge of the group, the creator of the legendary manic game The Strike, which will one day be a subject in media studies courses.
Is that all I get?
No, you. Do
dietary,
you want me to read your
dietary issues?
Hutch. It says Hutch.
One,
a cheeky,
just one potato.
Let me read it.
Like, get over it.
A cheeky lad character with dietary issues, a master of the hot takes, who also writes Mills and Boone stories in his spare time.
So he left off the best bit.
Which just bit?
That bit. He just went all in on the potato.
I was praising.
Like, read it all.
Anyway, that's from Aaron Drynan's PA, Sam James, who says, my only goal left in life now is to become a friend of the show. It's a good goal, Sam, to be fair. As I say, there will be an opportunity for someone on Saturday to become a friend of the show. Boys, we've come up, we're over the hour and a half mark. We've given away too much gold before the big day on Saturday, I fear. Any other business before we make our excuses and leave?
No other business.
No other business.
Roscoe?
We're done.
We will see you on Saturday, and we'll speak to you again next week.